This is a recording for the Bill Thorne teleconference with National Retail Federation, Thursday, July 21st, 2016, scheduled for 10 a.m. Central Time. Stop. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience in holding. We now have our speaker in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of our presentation, we will open the floor for questions. Instructions will be given at that time on the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn this conference over to Bill Thorne. Mr. Thorne, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Chantal, and thank you for those on the line today. We are excited about the survey this year, and we're glad that you were able to join us. You know, back-to-school season and consumer spending expectations are quite positive, and it's really consistent with what we're seeing across the economy. To discuss and dive a bit further into this this year's survey, we're going to hear from NRF Senior Vice President of Research and Strategic Initiatives, Ellen Davis, NRF Chief Economist, Jack Kleinhens, and Principal Analyst at Prosper Insights and Analytics, Pam Goodfellow. So let's get right into it and start off with Ellen Davis. Ellen, there's a lot to cover during the call, but I think those who are participating would really benefit from hearing what your top takeaways are from this year's Back to School and Back to College survey.
Thanks, Bill. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating today. We're excited to be able to share with you first some of the findings from our survey for Back to School and Back to College this year. How I'd like to use the first couple of minutes is just kind of to talk about the context that we think this should be looked at in, some of the kind of overlying themes and trends, and then, of course, we'll go into the numbers. And I know Jack and Pam have some good things to share as well. The first thing I think that's important to keep in mind is that, you know, the good news is, I think we can position this, is that back-to-school sales this year are really normal, and normal is a good thing for the industry right now. You know, last year we saw a bit of a softening during the back-to-school period, so this year there's some rebound happening. Consumers have some making up to do after taking a year off and buying some elements of, you know, clothing or electronics. So this is a year of replenishment. That's certainly a theme that we saw come through throughout the survey. But we also think that this year we're seeing some healthy, realistic increases for back-to-school and back-to-college spending. This is not we don't think that this is an unsustainable trend that we're seeing this year, and for that we are really encouraged, and we think retailers will be as well. Another interesting point in the theme of the numbers, and this follows along what Jack will cover in a few minutes, is that, you know, we really see this as a sign that families maybe are a little less worried in the state of the economy than they were a year ago. Many of them are kind of taking a deep breath and going out and starting to spend again on items that they may have pulled on last year, or maybe they're spending a little bit more in certain categories than they were a year ago, and all signs there are positive. So Jack will talk about some of the other positive indicators that we've seen this year from an economics perspective, but certainly an increase in back-to-school spending for us is another sign that things are heading in the right direction. What's important to keep in mind, many of you I know have covered back to school and back to college for a long time. This season for retailers is the second biggest shopping season next to the holidays. So it's important context for a lot of retailers. They are trying to get a consumer to focus again on shopping after taking the summer off. And so this is a really important time of year for retailers to stand out with promotions and other tactics and strategies that try to differentiate themselves from their competition. But what's different about back to school is that, you know, this generally is not a hugely experiential or discretionary holiday. It's much more transactional. It's much more necessities based. You know, I don't know that parents think that they have too many choices on whether they buy school supplies this year. So when you look at back to school versus the holiday season, which does tend to be much more experiential, much more discretionary, and also has a much bigger population who is spending, you need to look at the two in context a little bit, and I think that's an important note to make when we're talking about back to school. From a retailer's perspective, I talked a little bit about how the industry potentially is going to be responding and reacting and planning for back-to-school season this year. We certainly continue to see companies controlling and managing their inventory really well. We also anticipate a lot of strong promotions this year, as we have seen in the past, and we know based on the survey that that's something that will be resonating with consumers. But we also are starting to see some really interesting trends emerge just in the last couple of weeks on how retailers are planning to differentiate themselves this back-to-school season. So we're seeing an emphasis on philanthropy. Many of you may have seen the news that came out this week from companies like Kohl's and JCPenney, who are donating a portion of proceeds from certain items to charitable groups. And we're also seeing companies really focused right now on private label. Target just introduced their new Cat and Jack kids clothing line. I imagine the timing aligned with back to school was not an accident. And then I think every retailer in America right now is probably trying to figure out how they can use Pokemon Go to increase back to school sales. And those who can might find a little bit of magic in a bottle, because that certainly seems to be where things are trending right now. So when we get into just looking at the numbers, and I know many of you have a copy of the survey that we sent out this morning, the numbers, really you can find in there, but I think some of the important highlights are that this year we expect back-to-school and college spending cumulatively to reach $75.8 billion. That's up from $68 billion last year, so that's a nice, healthy 10% increase as a total. But if you dig into average spending, back-to-school spending, which we calculate as parents of kids in grades K through 12, we'll be spending an average of about $673. That's up from $630 last year. And then back-to-college numbers are a little bit more flat. Last year, we saw spending of about $888, and this year we're at $899. So the growth this year seems to be more in the back-to-school category than the back-to-college category, although both groups and most product lines look pretty healthy. Total spending for back to college, as I mentioned, is about total spending for back to college is about $48.5 billion, and then back to school is actually lower, as it is every year for about 20. We're fairly happy with these results. I mean, this is a survey; it's not a forecast. I think that's really important for us to talk about as well. We're taking information we're getting from consumers and we're passing it along to you, as we have every year. But for us, this is a signal that things are moving in the right direction, and that after taking a year off on some of those necessities that, the jeans might be too tight this year and the glue stick might be dry and it's time for a new iPad, and we think that that means that a lot of families are going to be heading to the stores and online for back to school.
Well, speaking of that, Ellen, I mean, where does it look like consumers are going for these back to school supplies?
Sure. Well, unsurprisingly, as it usually is, discount stores and department stores remain the top two destinations for this season. We are seeing some interesting trends emerge where, discount store traffic, came back a little bit lower this year, but it's still the top with about 60% of back-to-school shoppers. Department stores are up about 4% from last year. What's also interesting, and this shouldn't come as a surprise to anyone, is that back-to-school families are leveraging the web more than they ever have been for this type of spending. It's important to note that we're not necessarily talking about pure-play retailers versus brick-and-mortar retailers here. You could shop online through a department store's website the same way you could shop in a department store. So this is not about, pure-play retailers versus the traditional brick-and-mortar. It's really more about the channel that the consumer is shopping in, and this is a trend that we see emerge in all of our surveys where people are using the Internet to browse, to buy, to get inspiration, and so online shopping continues to see growth with about 46% of shopping being completed online this year. So, we're continuing to see that trend emerge.
Thanks, Ellen. So let's go to some of the other findings in the survey. Pam, what can you tell us your impressions about this year's survey and where people are planning to shop, among other things?
Sure. To kind of piggyback on what Ellen was discussing about spending and trends, I'd like to discuss a few more of the specifics about what shoppers will be purchasing and when they are actually planning on buying. For back to school, targeted items really center around clothing, shoes, and supplies. About 95% of shoppers are planning to buy these items. Fewer, 57%, plan to buy electronics, though this category still accounts for a significant portion of the overall budget. We do see planned spending on electronics, both on a percentage and dollar basis, increase as students mature and have more of a need for perhaps a laptop or graphing calculator. So that's kind of an interesting takeaway from the survey this year. Parents buying uniforms is an interesting trend. We've also seen increase over the last decade. Uniform buyers, who account for about 25% of back-to-school shoppers this year, plan to spend nearly 20% more on back-to-school. And this is particularly in supplies, shoes, and electronics. And those are the items that can add a little personality and newness for children heading back to school in khakis and a dress shirt. Back to college spending is a bit of a different animal compared to back to school. While overall spending plans for back to college exceed back to school, college purchasers are less likely to center around clothing and footwear and instead are driven by electronics purchase plans, which is the largest budgeted category. But don't get me wrong, clothing and shoes are still very important and well-shopped categories for back to college. It's just that college shoppers have less of an immediate need to replace outgrown apparel compared to their back-to-school shopping counterparts. And then, again, I'd like to, kind of touch on early bird shopping trends because I think that's, something we've seen over the past years and, it's something, that could be a trend leading into the holiday season as well. This year, more than 7 out of 10 back-to-school shoppers plan to begin shopping at least 3 weeks before the first bell rings, and that's a rise of nearly 20% from a year ago. It's always a chicken and the egg type question with what's driving early shopping trends, and I think we can look to both retailers and consumers for the answers. Retailers are pulling shoppers into stores and online with special promotions, and I'm sure we've all seen evidence of this already. Black Friday in July seems to be a go-to promotion right now for several retailers, and others are holding special shopping events and semi-annual sales. Back-to-school shoppers who head out early do so primarily to spread out their budgets. Early bird shopping was really bolstered by the Great Recession as consumers adopted smarter shopping habits to avoid racking up credit card bills and debt. But the majority of these shoppers also say that retailers' prices and promotions are too good to pass up. So there is some, a consumer-oriented reasons as well as retail-oriented reasons for early bird shopping there. We've also seen a rising trend for early shopping among back-to-college shoppers, though it's a bit less dramatic than those shopping for school. About 60% of college shoppers plan to start at least 3 weeks out from the first day of class, and that's compared to 73% of school shoppers. So this may be because items purchased for college are a bit less of a given than, the year average crayons, glue, and pencil kind of standards for back-to-school shoppers. But early bird shoppers for college concur with their school shopping counterparts on why they shop early, though. It's still to spread out their budgets and because of great promotions from retailers.
Pam, thank you very much. It's very, very helpful. Jack, why don't you give us some thoughts on the more global issue of the economy, how that's impacting consumers, and how that relates to the back-to-school spend.
Yeah, well, thanks, Bill. Appreciate the opportunity to provide some perspective. Actually, the outcome of our survey fits fairly well with recent developments in the marketplace. We had a strong retail sales number that was released last Friday. Consumers have been very active in leading the economy. To the extent that they are confident about the economy, our survey does show, especially for those people who are in the back-to-school mode, that there's a number of families more confident about the outlook, and perhaps that's one of the reasons why they are purchasing back-to-school. So in general, the confidence in the economy about spending at this point is in good shape. Of course, last Friday we got some information from the University of Michigan Sentiment Survey that came out and there was a little bit of a backsliding that was going on, but the sentiment survey and the confidence in this, confidence board, these indicators have somewhat been erratic, and I guess the key thing to think about is if people are confident, they will spend. So my feeling is that we're witnessing right now some solid spending across the board, across retail spectrum, and I expect that that will continue at least in part right now as we reflect on back to school spending.
Thank you, Jack. I want to make sure that we have plenty of time for questions. So, Chantal, could you give everybody kind of a guideline on how we're going to conduct that?
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. At this time, we'd like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone now.
Thank you, Chantal. While those questions are queuing up, I wanted to ask Ellen. Ellen, could you speak to the online just a little bit more? Those numbers can be a bit confusing, so focus on those for just a moment.
Sure. I think the online and kind of brick and mortar combination this year is really interesting because if you're looking at in the press release where we talk about online spending, we are seeing a really significant increase, higher than any other category, of consumers who are adding the web as a shopping channel this year. So last year, 35.6% of back-to-school shoppers shopped on the web. This year, that number is 46%. So a nice jump. And I think that's indicative of what we are seeing broadly, which is that people are leveraging the Internet to get information, find ideas, buy online and pick up in store in many cases. But that we're not talking about 46% of spending is happening online. We're talking about 46% of back-to-school shoppers will use the web, as they will use many other outlets, if you will, to shop for back-to-school this year. But I think one of the things that we're seeing retailers make sure that they leverage in all of this is making sure that they're firing on all cylinders, where they've got promotions and incentives for people to shop in the store, but they're also ensuring that their websites are very integrated, that their websites offer the right experience, that they have the right, kind of fundamental path to purchase through the web that they may in a store. And I think that for a lot of the more traditional retailers, that's going to be a very important element this year as we see increased consumers heading to the web as they consider where to shop and how to shop for back to school.
All right, Chantal, why don't we take the first question?
Thank you very much. Our first question will come from Courtney Reagan, CNBC.
Hi there.
Courtney.
Thank you so much. Hi, thanks so much for holding this call. I know you all have explained this in the past, and for some reason I just always forget. Can you, and I know it's a survey, so you have two separate numbers. You have the total spending number, and then, of course, you break it down by K through 12 expected spending and then the college spending. And, of course, those rates are different. So the total spend number is up substantially more than the K through 12 spending number is up. And, aggregated with the other one, that one's down. Can you just describe, the difference and how you get those numbers and why they're different and what you would say is sort of the headline number for do we use the total spending, or do we use the, K through 12 spending to say expected school spending is expected to grow X percent?
Ellen, you want to handle that?
Sure. And Courtney, I think what's interesting context, and Pam, please add in clarification if needed. But what I think is important, Courtney, is, there are a lot of different ways to look at back to school. And you can look at a traditional K through 12. When you add in college, that's a totally different beast. Personally, I think what is interesting to look at is the average family spend, because it helps us understand kind of what individual families are doing. But as an aggregate, that $75 billion number takes into account that some years you're going to have higher numbers of people buying for back to school and back to college than other years. So there's a little bit of a population element that's involved in coming up with those bigger aggregate numbers. But from a trends perspective, I think it's interesting to look at the average family spend for K through 12, which is up about 6%, versus the average spend for back to college, which is up, you know, fairly moderately. Another interesting trend that we've just seen develop over the last 10 years that we were talking about yesterday is that electronics spending over the last 10 years has really, really shifted. So 10 years ago, you saw a lot of college freshmen heading off to school making a big electronics purchase, you know, a tablet, a laptop, a smartphone. And today we're seeing most of that electronic spending shift to the younger grades. So some of the difference in this average spending for back to school and back to college could be that electronics is not as important for back to college as it was compared to back to school over the last decade. And a lot of that's just because today's high school students already have access to the technology that they, you know, that only their older brothers and sisters did a decade ago. Pam, is there anything in terms of the numbers that you look at that would be an addition to or even contradict what I just said?
No, I think you're definitely on the right track there. If when I look at this, I like to look at the household spend because that gives you it's really the kind of indicator of how the average family is doing and how they, you know, their optimism regarding you know, back to school shopping and their individual plans, because those, you know, the larger $1 billion number does include you know, obviously population growth. So if you want to, you know, kind of look at, you know, household spending confidence, I would definitely look towards the combined average for a household spend this year.
Great. I think it's much more realistic to say that spending is going to be up closer to 6% versus 11%. I don't know that any retailer would.
Yeah, I did the math on that, and I was like, whoa, that seems just a replenishment cycle. Okay.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these numbers really are, if you look at total spending in 2014, we're really close. I mean, if you look at historical spending combined, 2014 was 74.9%. This year, 75.8%. I mean, that's not an unrealistic you know, path, except for the fact that last year was just a pretty soft year. So this is kind of a rebound, even if you're looking at it in the total spending category. It doesn't seem, for us, like it's, you know, an unbeatable or unmatchable number.
Great. Thank you. That helps.
Thank you, Courtney. Chantal, next question.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Ann D'Incenzio, the Associated Press.
Hey, Ann, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having the call. In terms of the trend that you're seeing of early shopping, because another survey also pointed that out too, you know, and obviously some of it's coming from the consumer and some of it's coming from the store. So, but would you say that the store is even more promotional earlier than compared to last year? Because they were pretty promotional last year. So why are you seeing such a jump, you know, in early shopping compared to last year, do you think?
I'm going to let Pam answer that. Pam?
Sure. You know, stores certainly have been very promotional in the past years, and last year was no exception. So, you know, I think it's just more consumers kind of jumping on the bandwagon there. You know, like we just saw a few weeks ago with Prime Day. You know, it was a big day last year, but it was even a bigger day for Amazon this year. So, you know, I think it's, you know, kind of more people jumping in and seeing the opportunity for them to you know, save on their budgets and stretch budgets and get really great deals. So I think, you know, both retailers and consumers are kind of, you know, just on a bigger scale, buying into the whole early bird shopping trend.
Okay, and we don't know, obviously, if that's going to hurt at the end, whether they're going to, right? I mean, that's the question mark is, you know, whether it's going to continue or whether it's going to hurt, like, the sales at the end of the season, right?
Well, I think, Ellen, I think something that's important to note here is that anytime you're going to see a spending increase, you can be encouraged by the fact that people might want to spread out that spending over time. I think the two go together really well. So, you know, if we were looking at a flat back-to-school season and people were planning to spread out that spending, I think you'd get a little nervous. But it's understandable for a family to say, hey, I'm going to make a bigger electronics purchase this year. I'm going to spend $150 bucks more than I did last year. I might spread out that spending and start shopping or at least browsing in June or July. For us, that's a realistic expectation among consumers, and it wouldn't necessarily mean that, you know, all the air is going to get out of the balloon before the back-to-school season actually ends.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Chantal, next question.
Our next question will come from Christina Gustafson, CNBC.
Hi. Sorry. Hi, how are you?
Good.
Just a quick clarification, because I know on the call you just said that the average spend per household for back to school is up slightly, but in the release it looks like it says that it's down slightly from $899 last year.
That's back to college. So
back to college. Yes.
So the average spending for families back to school proper, which is K through 12, is $673.57, and last year was $630.36. So that's a difference of about $43. Back to college, and I'm sorry, I reversed the way that I said this on the call, so I totally understand how that's confusing. It's about $8.99, and last year it was $8.88. So that's a difference of only about $11. So what we're saying, what we're seeing is that the momentum this year from a growth perspective is really in the back to school category, but both categories are seeing an increase.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then I guess my real question then, aside from just clarifying that, was I know you said it's more of a stocking up season rather than making do, and definitely noted that it's more needs-based than discretionary, but are you seeing any signs that consumers are spending a little more freely, whether it's, you know, buying additional items, you know, maybe an extra top or pair of pants or maybe a fancier laptop?
Pam, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I think anytime, you know, when consumers feel a little bit better about the economy and, you know, and increase their spending plans, there's certainly the opportunity for retailers to kind of boost the sale there. So, you know, with spending plans kind of increasing this year, you know, I think it'll be a bit easier for retailers to kind of convince shoppers to spend a little bit more, maybe buy that extra top or upgrade their laptop a little bit more than, you know, what they initially intended to. Just, you know, because consumers, I mean, looking back 2016 compared to, you know, a recession era consumer, certainly consumers are certainly in a better spending mindset than they were, and with plans to spend more this year over last, I think we can, you know, kind of infer that this spending confidence is rising.
Hey, Bill, this is Jack. I'd like to add a comment.
Please.
One of the things we're seeing in retail broadly is deflation that has been occurring for the last couple of years. So what's happening in many cases is the consumer is finding that some of the same goods that were available last year are cheaper than this year, so it actually stretches their dollars to be able to buy more. And we've seen some rise in wages and salaries up about 2.6% on a year-over-year basis. So there's this a willingness to spend and an ability to spend that we're seeing right now, partly because of a higher, marginally increase in wages, but also because prices are very competitive right now. And importantly, some of the goods that are being purchased, we're talking about electronics in some cases. Now, again, it depends upon what kind of electronics it is, but much of these goods are being imported. And with the stronger dollar, retailers are having the ability to offer these same goods at a very, very attractive price this year, which, again, provides the possibility for consumers to have a little bit more dollars to spend on other things.
That's such a good point, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. All right, Chantal, next question.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Tanya Garcia, MarketWatch.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I believe, Ellen, it was you that mentioned a couple of trends early on, one of them being, and I guess this is kind of, you know, a trend every year, that the spending during back to school is more necessities-based. You also mentioned this year a focus on private label. I was hoping maybe you could go into one or two other trends that you might be seeing, whether it's across the board or within any individual category.
Sure. I mean, I think one of the trends that's interesting that's emerged this year we talked about is the increased spending and spending over time. So what Pam talked about, which is that people are shopping earlier, for us was an interesting trend. You know, the shift to online, or at least adding the web as a shopping channel, is certainly something that can't be ignored and that retailers aren't ignoring. So that's, it's not only about does your store look good and, you know, is merchandise well, does your website perform well during back to school? I talked a little bit about, the differentiation perspective from a retailer angle, which is, private label is certainly, if you want to, The challenge with back to school is that, you know, a pencil is a pencil. I mean, really. Unless you're going to make them all a penny, which doesn't make you a whole lot of money in the aggregate, what are you going to do to differentiate yourself? And so we see a lot of retailers, as I mentioned, focusing on things like private label, where you've got merchandise that you literally can't buy anywhere else, or the angle from a philanthropic perspective of using a portion of your back to school sales to support a charity or a group that might be relevant to teaching or children in this case. So I think there's a lot of creativity. I think retailers are really stretched during the back to school season to get super creative because this is generally something that you can buy school supplies from a half a dozen different places within 3 miles of your house, which one are you going to go to? That is an important angle for retailers to look at. And then I mentioned toward the end of the call an interesting trend that we started talking about yesterday, which is just the shift in electronics spending over time. I think it's personally fascinating. Jack talked about deflation in electronics, which is part of this, but we also have students at much younger ages embracing technology, owning technology, and that has really shifted the dynamic of back to school over time to a much younger audience when it comes to electronics.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you. Chantal, next question.
Thank you. Our next question will come from Deborah Borchardt, WWD Women's Wear Daily.
Hi, yes, I have a question regarding the college shoppers because of where they shop. If the discount store is their choice, is at the lowest level, and their online shopping has also dropped, where are those dollars going? Who's getting them? Is that a specialty store?
Pam, do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, yeah, I think that college shoppers, definitely a kind of a different animal from back to school shoppers. But their plans to shop at different places this year were, we didn't really see one standout channel for these shoppers, and I think that's really interesting. So I'm not sure if it's because they're less likely to kind of shop early than back to school shoppers, so they don't really have a solid game plan in line right now. But discounters and department stores will still obviously play a big role in back-to-college shopping, as will online. I think one of the reasons why we see kind of this variance in where people will shop for back-to-college is because we've got a bifurcated group of back-to-college shoppers. You've got the parents, but then you also have the students. So if you look at the students, freshman shoppers are, these are the guys spending the most on back to college this year, and their number one channel is going online. But that's very understandable because they're, the millennials, very young millennials there. But their parents are probably, older Gen Xers, boomers, who prefer the more, traditional channels. So I think that's kind of why we see some of the variance there. But definitely, I think, as back to college shoppers tend to go out a little bit later, they might just not have that kind of a solid game plan in mind right now.
Pam, I think also, and you make such good points, I think if you look at, if you guys look at the page 5 of the slide share that we released, every category is down. So it's not just that fewer of them are shopping at discount stores and department stores. Fewer of them actually, if you look at it, are shopping online. And what that says to us is that potentially they're concentrating their shopping. Maybe it's because they're shopping later. Maybe to Pam's point, they don't have a game plan yet. But it's not that they're, some categories are down and other ones are up. It's really, if you look at the increase, the increase is coming in small businesses, but really everybody else is kind of flat or down compared to last year. And so I think that that's more of a story of the millennial shopper, as we know, is just really different. They might not plan ahead as much. They might be concentrating their shopping more. But there's kind of room for everybody in the game right now. It's not that there's winners and losers from a channel standpoint, I don't think.
I believe a college student would procrastinate. Chantal, another question?
Thank you. Our last question will come from Jordan Holman, Bloomberg News.
So as noted earlier on this call, this is definitely a stocking up year, as you guys say, and because one of the factors is that consumers have been delaying to doing their big spin. But this still seems like a really large number. So my question is, what's the evidence that families are really stocking up this year for back to school? Is it really stocking up, or is there a main thing we can point to back up this number?
Pam, you want to address that?
Sure. You know, I think we really started to see this kind of stock up or make do cycle begin with the Great Recession. I think consumers pulled back hard, you know, during, you know, 2009, 2010, and then we saw, you know, it was, let's see, it was, the numbers right specifically in front of me. Let's see, 2010, 2011, consumers went from buying, you know, about $550 in back to school to $600. And then we saw the increase in 2012 to $688. And then in 2013, we saw it back down to, you know, $634. So I think it's, you know, consumers were cutting back so hard in the recession. There finally came a year there, and this is why we see this cycle consistent among, you know, all consumers, is because they cut back so hard during the recession, and they had to finally have a year there where it was like, okay, we do need to replace the home computer, we do need to, you know, buy a new backpack, those types of things. So I think that's kind of what set this cycle in motion is the 2011-2012 year. So, you know, this year's number certainly wasn't a surprise. But if you look at the 2016 number, this 2014, those two numbers are very much in line with each other as stock-up years, with 2015, as Ellen mentioned, being a bit more softer year for back-to-school spending.
And I think, Jordan, this is Ellen. I think, you know, one of the interesting, one of the ways that your question is basically like, how do we know that this is really the case? I think the fact that we've got 10 years of spending over time that we've provided you guys is interesting. But to Pam's point, you know, if you look at 2011, average spend was 600. The next year was 688. The next year was 630. The next year was 670. The next year was 630. Like, we've been seeing this kind of fits and spurts from a consumer spending perspective for back to school. And a lot of that is aligned with, you know, consumer confidence, how they're feeling about the economy. You know, this might be the year that a parent says, okay, this is the year that we're going to go spend on a new laptop because things are a little bit better. We've got a little bit more money in our pocket, whereas last year we, you know, took it to the repair shop and just tried to make it go for another year. So the fact that we've got the historical perspective here, which really is that we haven't seen a gradual build over time with a lot of these numbers. We've seen, you know, kind of up and down years for the last several years, for us is an indication that this is a replenishment year and a stock-up year, which is probably one of the biggest stories, we think, from back to school.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question. Well, I think that's going to be it for the day. We appreciate it again that you were able to join us. Now, if you have any questions about back to school or any of the other issues we talked about today, you can contact the NRF Media Relations team at press@nrf.com or call 855-NRF-PRESS, P-R-E-S-S. Jack, Sam, thank you very much for your help, and Chantal, this will conclude the call.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, this conference is now ended. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.